the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible is full of what are titled call stories. Call stories. The Bible, both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, are full of what are termed call stories. Stories in which God speaks personally and directly to an individual with an invitation or a command, saying, this is what you are to do. This is what I, God, am calling you to do. Call stories, pretty much by definition, are epiphany stories. So it's not surprising that we are hearing them during this season of Epiphany, this season after the Epiphany. Remember that the general overarching theme of Epiphany is incidents or experiences in which God reveals something and people recognize what God has revealed. We use the word Epiphany, at least to some degree, in general English usage, just to mean any sort of aha moment, any sort of new awareness or awakening. But when we use the term in church, we don't just mean any sort of awakening or new recognition. We mean a recognition or a new awareness of something that God has revealed, a new awareness of God's presence or God's purpose. Particularly the presence of God, the glory of God, as it is revealed or known in Jesus. And so we have the gospel reading for today, probably the archetype of all call stories. It's often called the calling of Jesus' disciples. In this story, Jesus calls to Simon Peter and Andrew, and then later the Zebedee boys, James and John. Jesus calls them to follow him. Follow me, he says. And they must have seen, they must have recognized something wondrous, something compelling, something holy in Jesus, something that they deeply yearned for. They must have recognized something in Jesus' call. Because Mark says, immediately, one of Mark's favorite words, immediately, Mark says, they followed. Immediately, they followed. Jesus called, and they followed. There are also lots of call stories in the Hebrew Scriptures. And we heard one last week. We essentially heard one this week in the reading from Jonah. And I want to review those stories with you. They are richer in detail than the gospel story. They flesh out some of what these call stories are all about. First, last week, we heard the story of the call of Samuel, another famous call story in the Scriptures, the call of Samuel, the young boy Samuel. That reading began. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. Samuel had already been dedicated to the temple. Samuel was in the Lord, performing the functions of the temple under Eli. The Scripture continues, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Vision. humans were not widespread. The word that's translated rare also means precious. It means rare in that sense, highly valued but not common. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli. And said, "Here I am, Eli, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." That particular segment is repeated twice more. And then Eli perceived the Lord who called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The call of Samuel. It took a while for the Lord to get through. And then we have the call of Jonah. We had a reading from the book of Jonah today. Today's reading began, you may remember, the Lord called to Jonah a second time. Remember what happened the first time the Lord called to Jonah. The book of Jonah begins, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." The Lord called to Jonah with a task, to go to Nineveh, to offer hope and reconciliation to the people of Nineveh. Jonah ran as fast as he could. Other direction, away from Nineveh, away from the Lord. And the story continues, of course, that on that ship a storm grew up, and ultimately Jonah was thrown into the sea, swallowed by a great fish, spit out later upon the land. And then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, called to Jonah a second time. Virtually no biblical scholars think that the book of Jonah has anything to do with historical events. And yet, it speaks to us about calls and our potential response to those calls. It's helpful to know, perhaps as background, that Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, destroyers of Israel, and a brutal occupying force. The Lord was calling Jonah to go into the heart of a nation that had destroyed and continued to brutally oppress his own people. I want to share one more Old Testament call story with you. It's another well-known one. The call of Amos, the prophet Amos. Many of the prophets have call stories that are recounted in the prophetic books. In the book of Amos, Amos is describing his call to one of the leaders of his day. And Amos was a historical figure. Amos says, "I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son. But I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" The Lord spoke to Amos, a dresser dresser of sycamore trees, and said, "Go prophesy to my people Israel." Amos had to go to Israel because Amos was from the southern kingdom of Judah, different from Israel, different tribes, different history, different people. Amos, too, was sent to people who were not his people to proclaim to them that justice should roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Some of the powerful prophecy that Amos was called to deliver to God's people in Israel. A collection of call stories. Stories where God spoke directly to an individual with a task, with something for them to do. I don't know, do you believe that God speaks in that way today? Do you believe that God calls individuals to a particular purpose, to a specific task determined by God? Probably amongst us there are a range of opinions on that, whether or not God speaks directly into our individual lives in that way, calling us to a particular purpose, a particular task. Speaking for myself, I have never known in my own life that individual and specific summons from God. There are clergy who will describe their call to ordained ministry in that way. I am not one. I have never heard God directly address me in that way, and yet I am open to the possibility. I hope that I am open to the possibility in my own life and in the lives of others. Yet I'm also mindful of that phrase that I love in the Call of Samuel, where we are told that visions are sometimes rare. In some times, visions are rare. It seems to me, perhaps, that in our time they are rare also. All the more reason for us to seek them and treat them as precious when they are offered. And God is personal. Our God is personal and relates to us in a personal way, knows us and cares for each of us as an individual. And although I have not heard a voice booming from heaven calling my name to a specific task, I have certainly known in my own life, God's presence and guidance for me, of being held and nudged and guided in what I hope is the right way. Have known that sense of God's care and God's direction in my life, and I pray that you either have or will know that sort of care and guidance also. But back to this question of call, the specific call. If any one of us has not heard a voice from heaven directing us to a specific purpose or call, does that mean that we have no purpose in God's eyes? Does it mean we are totally deaf to God's presence in our lives? Does it mean that there is nothing that we are really called to do, that some receive calls and others do not? I don't think so. In fact, I believe very strongly that each and every one of us is called. That each and every one of us is called. Called to a purpose by God. That each and every one of us is called to be God's helper. To be God's helpers. think of it that way. Think of it that simply. We are all called, in whatever way we can, to help God in God's work. We're all called to be God's helpers, to help share God's love in the world, to bring the good news of God's love and God's care to people who have not heard it. As Simon and Andrew and James and John were called, we too are called to share the presence and love and care of God with others. We are called to help God build community. As I talked about last week, we are all called to help build communities that are faithful and loving, in which God is shared and known. We are also all called, as Amos reminds us, to help God in God's work of establishing justice. Justice for all of God's children. We are all called in our own ways to be God's helpers. It's that simple. Although it can also be very hard. And these call stories that we've heard, that I've reviewed, these call stories remind us that fulfilling God's call, fulfilling our call to be God's helpers, is often not easy. The very first thing that young Samuel was asked to do after God called out to him, young Samuel, the very first thing he was asked to do was to publicly condemn the corruption that was rampant in the family of his mentor Eli. We didn't read that part of the lesson last week. Both Amos and Jonah were sent to work among foreigners, to be God's helpers among people who were not their people. In Jonah's case, he was sent to bring hope to people whom he despised. And none of these calls, none of the calls that we have heard about today, were expected. Neither sought nor expected. They came totally out of the blue. Amos says, I'm not a prophet. I'm not even a prophet's son. How can I be called to prophesy? And in every single one of these stories, including the gospel story, in every single one of these call stories, the people called were called away from what they were doing. They were all called to leave something behind. We in our lives have a tendency to seek and hope for God's help with our projects, forgetting sometimes, perhaps, that God needs our help with God's projects. We are all called in our own ways, as best we can, to be God's helpers in the world. Amen.